Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, Dave in Billings. I'll tell you what, Dave, if you can, give us a call back in about a half an hour, and that's when we'll have some more open phones time or we can chat about all the topics under the sun. Definitely interested in hearing your thoughts on RFK Jr., cereal for breakfast, and why we have chemicals in our products in America that aren't allowed in places like Canada. Definitely would be interested in hearing your take. But let's jump right into it. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal now with us, here with us every Monday. Evelyn, I got to do a random start with you here on this Monday morning. Did you by chance, did you and Dennis, did you guys watch the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul boxing fight on Friday night? Did you happen to see that at all?
I think my husband did, yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say, so you might have missed Mike Tyson showing his rear end live on national TV on Netflix anyway. It was pretty hysterical. But I think Mike Tyson has decided that he is now in the running to be America's grandpa, I think, after Friday night.
Well, somebody has to be.
Somebody has to be. That's right. Yeah. Old Joe's on his way out from the White House. So, yeah. Anyway, hey, what's the good news to start with here on this Monday morning?
Well, I think that Montana is doing pretty well in government regulation and taxes. The state has been ranked high in dealing with those issues, and we can go into that somewhat, but Montana is fifth in the nation as having a good tax situation as compared to the rest of the nation. And I think that maybe for all the angst people have been talking about and worrying about taxes, that maybe that's some good news. I mean, I have to admit, though, I go, well, you know, you compare it to other states, what does that mean? If they're just worse off, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are good as far as taxes go, but I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, that's definitely some good news. Well, and on the more good news front, so the state legislature, the Republican-led legislature here in Montana, lowered taxes last session. They lowered taxes the session before. And now Governor Greg Gianforte in his latest budget is proposing to lower income taxes once again here in Montana. I liked what, current Speaker of the Montana House and the State Senate President-elect Matt Regeer had to say. He said, hey, you know, this recent report had Montana ranked number 5 in the country, but I want to make Montana number 1 in the country when it comes to tax and regulatory environment. I love that response. Okay, I've got the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet in front of me here. We'll talk more with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal coming up right after this. And then later in the hour, get back to your phone calls and much more. Plus, Ashley Smith-Thomas will join us to talk about President Trump's cabinet nominees as well. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all get benefits from tax dollars, from the roads we drive on, the firefighters who protect our houses, and the courts and police that keep us safe. So why don't we make taxes voluntary? The answer is the well-known free rider problem. People will not voluntarily pay for things that they enjoy, whether they pay or not. If everyone tries to free ride on the backs of others, it all breaks down. The solution, compulsory taxes, is as unpopular as it is necessary. But the free rider problem pops up in other places as well. One of them is housing regulation. The solution to housing unaffordability, to build more housing, is not welcome in many parts of our state, especially at the neighborhood level. Let those other places become more densely populated, some might say, while we keep our big lawns and quiet streets. And if we free ride on other communities' efforts to boost housing stock, we get the best of both worlds. Except that if every community thinks like we do, nothing changes and the crisis gets worse. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
U.S. taxpayer expense.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy conditions today, some snow showers move into the Bozeman area with an inch or two expected. And we'll see rain showers moving into the Billings area. Temperatures will stay steady and falling into the upper 20s in the Bozeman area with highs in the low to mid 40s in Billings. Tonight, rain or snow shower chance early in Billings. Snow showers taper off in Bozeman. Lows in the mid-teens to the mid-20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, when I look at this Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet headline here, Montana taxes not so bad. I feel like Adam Sandler should be singing a song here. Not too shabby, but not too shabby when it comes to our Montana taxes, except for those stinking property taxes, right? Evelyn, I don't know if you heard about that. I was really pleased to hear that a group of folks here in Montana are going to restart an effort to try to cap property taxes based off of the purchase price of your home instead of, you know, the value of the home. So when it comes to property taxes, I think there's a lot of us who just believe that, yes, we need to see a complete overhaul of the current system that really just punishes people and taxes them based off of the value of the home instead of what they purchased it at. So I'm glad to see that folks are trying to renew an effort, because I think even if the legislature tries to take up the property tax issue, I think fundamentally it really needs something more like a constitutional initiative. But we'll see what the legislature puts forward here in the days ahead. Talk more about this data that you compiled when it comes to Montana taxes.
Well, so Montana ranks fifth as the best state for taxes, not having them, of course. The State Tax Competitiveness Index has done the ranking on this, and they rank the states over the past several years, and Montana has maintained its fifth place ranking since 2020. Wyoming is at the top ranking, followed by South Dakota. And not surprisingly, New York ranks at the bottom, followed by New Jersey and California. So the ranking process takes into account 150 variables in five major tax categories, including corporate taxes, individual income taxes, sales and excise taxes, property and wealth taxes, and unemployment insurance. Not surprisingly, Montana ranks best in the sales tax category at third, since we don't have a general sales tax. Wyoming, by the way, has no income tax, so the best place to live would be right across the border in Wyoming, so you pay income tax and you shop in Billings.
Which is what a lot of them do. A lot of people listening in northern Wyoming right now on 970 KBUL. Yeah, we get callers from Cody. We get callers and messages from folks in Lovell and Powell and across the northern tier there.
Right. We just need one more aspect in there that deals with property taxes.
That's right. Yeah.
And the income tax in Montana ranks 17th, with the average individual sales tax at $1,695 per capita. Now, I mean, and I guess, I'm not too sure, but, you know, we do have some sales taxes, like on gas or, you know, specific things, but anyhow. Montana ranks 19th for corporate taxes and 18th for property taxes. unemployment insurance taxes pushes the state down to 21 in rank. Montana does not have an estate tax or inheritance tax, and our gas on our tax on gasoline is 33.75 cents per gallon. We could drop our gas prices pretty quickly there. And a tax on cigarettes is $1.70. I would presume that's per pack. The state collects $5,065 in state and local taxes per capita. And Montana has $5,185 in state and local debt per capita. And its pension plans are 73% funded. So that gives you an idea of where Montana stands here financially. Like I said, just because we rank fifth, it doesn't mean we probably couldn't and shouldn't do better.
Yeah, that's right. What more have you been hearing from the business community? I continue to hear about the optimism and just how it's almost like a 180 turnaround now that Donald Trump is coming back into the White House this January. Oil and gas sector, I've got to think that there's renewed enthusiasm there. Chris Wright was just named to be the nominee for Energy Secretary, and I've just heard rave reviews about him just across the board. His background, not just with oil and gas, but really all the above type of energy. He's an MIT grad. Sounds like a very interesting pick there, but I think there's just a renewed optimism across the board.
Oh, yeah. Ever since the election, everybody I encountered seemed very upbeat, very happy, very relieved. You know, I think everybody was standing around holding their breaths, wondering, you know, I mean, when you look at some of the crazy ideas that Kamala was proposing, like taxing income you didn't even have yet, I mean, it was a scary thing because a lot of businesses are just always very marginal, and it doesn't take too much to push them out of business. And so all of that was a big relief not to have to worry about it and being able to go forward and invest the capital. I mean, a lot of people have been sitting and waiting to see. I mean, they have plans and capital to invest, but they didn't want to move forward until they knew what the future held.
That's right. They knew if their investment was going to crash and burn or if it was going to be a worthwhile investment based off of the regulatory and overall economic outlook facing our country. Yeah, much more optimism now with President Trump making his triumphant return. All right, quick break. Back after this.
This is House Call for Health. November is Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Awareness Month. That's commonly referred to as COPD, essentially a disease that prevents airflow to the lungs, causing breathing problems. It's also a leading cause of death in the United States. And while smoking is the main cause, those who never smoked can also get it. It's a progressive disease that gets worse over time, and unfortunately, there's no cure for it. There are treatments that can help, though. Symptoms include frequent wheezing and coughing, shortness of breath when it comes to regular daily activities. Some of the daily complications can include working, walking, or climbing stairs, even concentrating and remembering things. It can also lead to other health issues, like depression or mental health conditions. Nearly 16 million adults in the U.S. have COPD. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
What are we going to talk about in the week ahead on Montana Talks? Man, I tell you what, just the news we've been talking about already. President Trump rolling out his cabinet picks. It's like watching the NFL draft, as Lara Trump pointed out. Plus, we've got the Montana Farm Bureau Convention about to be underway right downstairs from our Montana Talk studios. We'll be taking your phone calls and much more. So a big week ahead with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk Monday through Friday right here.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
President-elect Donald Trump has been announcing nominees to fill cabinet positions in his upcoming administration, but the name of a Secretary of Agriculture nominee has yet to surface. While names are being floated, there's still a lot of uncertainty. Agricultural policy expert Randy Russell with the Russell Group.
Number one, I think that you will see somebody that is strongly supportive of production agriculture, kind of putting production ag back in the seat at USDA, whoever it is. Number two, it's going to be somebody that I believe has had production agricultural experience and I think also has run something. This President Trump is real big on having people that are governors, state departments of ag head, experience running businesses, et cetera. So I can't tell you who it's going to be because I don't think anybody knows at this point. A lot of that also comes down to you got to look at other cabinet posts, geographic diversity, male, female balance in the cabinet. So I think it's just too early to tell. But I do think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on putting production agriculture back in the seat in the Whitten building.
During Trump's first term, the incoming administration held off on an agriculture secretary choice until just before the inauguration. Again, as of this broadcast, no one has been named as a nominee to serve USDA in the Trump administration. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Earlier on in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we got a phone call from Nancy in Roundup. And of course, she's been very skeptical of Matt Gaetz for quite some time now. And Nancy in Roundup basically raised some questions about President Trump's attorney general nominee, Matt Gaetz, and whether some of these allegations against him could eventually tank his nomination to be AG. Amy in Helena says this. McCarthy was loved in D.C. because all the lobbyists could line his pockets. Furthermore, Gaetz was investigated and no charges were filed. However, people were charged after trying to blackmail Gaetz's father. We do still live in a country where we are innocent until proven guilty. Amy, I also saw the Federalist.com. Molly Hemingway has a write-up that's available right now. House probe into Matt Gaetz relies on witnesses that the DOJ, the Biden DOJ, found lacked credibility. That's at thefederalist.com this morning. All right, back to it here as we get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn, what else do you want to share with our listeners here this morning? You've got some interesting stats from the Department of Labor and more.
Yes, well, Montana ranked fourth best state for regulatory freedom. The Mercatus Center at George Mason University reported that Montana is one of the least regulated states in the nation. The report listed Montana as fourth behind North Dakota, South Dakota, and Idaho. It's interesting how these states that are doing well in limited government interference are often in the western part of the United States. So I think it must be our independent-mindedness that does that. But anyway, the most regulated state is California, followed by New York and New Jersey. Montana regulations are less than the average of other states except in the category of labor and workforce development. Most of Montana's regulations have to do with environmental protection, public utilities, and natural resources, which I'm sure doesn't surprise anybody. The fewest regulations are aimed at transportation and primary and secondary education. Montana represents a vast system of over 1.2 million combined regulatory restrictions compared to, Montana has 59,654 regulatory restrictions compared to California, which has 420,434
That's just absolutely crazy. That reminds me, one soundbite that I need to get to after we wrap up, Vivek Ramaswamy was on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday talking about the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, where he and Elon Musk are going to go through the federal government and just identify fraud, waste, and abuse and things that where we could just save money and time and so much more. And that's kind of like what Governor Greg Gianforte did with his red tape relief initiative here in Montana. There's just so much of this stuff that's just been piling up. And somebody just needs to go in and sweep out the cobwebs here and the leaves that are, you know, huddled into that corner. You've also got some numbers here. The Montana Department of Labor and Industry predicting that Montana will see steady growth in the job market and increasing demand for workers over the next decade. Apparently, they're predicting that Montana will create about 6,500 new jobs per year through 2033. And so, and that might even be a conservative estimate, given the growth that we've seen in Montana.
Yeah, and it's probably, you know, far more likely to be the case, not just that, but like you say, more, given, you know, the outcome of the election, because, I mean, you know, Montana's businesses have been just really strong in creating jobs and everything. I just know it's going to get even stronger and with fewer things blocking their way and everything. Montana is just aimed for really a roaring growth, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
But we need more people here to work.
Well, and on that front, by the way, I want to give another shout out to the Montana Department of Labor and Industry for all of their efforts to help our Stillwater miners on the ground all week last week in Columbus. I heard, you know, from some of the miners firsthand that the folks were just very helpful. They help and answer all of their questions and are getting them linked up with the resources that they need. So big thanks to those folks who spent the time on the ground in Montana. Evelyn Pyburn, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for your great reporting. As always, if you are not signed up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet, make sure you do. You'll get it in your email inbox either every Sunday night or Monday morning. A great way to kick off your work week with some good, solid business news. And sign up for the print edition as well, because there's even more where that came from. Back in 60 seconds, right after this Fox News update. You know, again, thanks to the state of Montana, the Department of Labor and Industry, they had 40 folks. They pulled in team members from all across the state. You know, folks that work for the Montana Department of Labor in Kalispell were even on the ground in Columbus last week to provide support to our laid off Stillwater miners. Again, where are the feds at? Where's the federal Department of Labor? Apparently, they don't have any disaster money left because of all the hurricanes and things, because the hurricanes and things like that. But yet somehow our federal government has all this money in the world for all of the rest of the world. So why aren't they, you know, doing what they can to help out our Stillwater miners? That's unbelievable. All right. You know, we talk about government waste. We were talking about how, you know, Montana has now improved our rankings as one of the least regulated states in the nation. How do we go in and start making our own federal government more efficient? Vivek Ramaswamy was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. Where do you start?
So first is we want to go right in through executive action to do the failures of the executive branch that need to be addressed. Because the dirty little secret right now, Maria, is the people we elect to run the government, they're not the ones who actually run the government. It's the unelected bureaucrats in the administrative state. That was created through executive action. It's going to be fixed through executive action. Think about the Supreme Court's environment over the last several years. They've held that many of those regulations are unconstitutional at a large scale. Rescind those regulations, pull those regs back, then that gives us the industrial logic to then downsize the size of that administrative state. And the beauty of all of this is that can be achieved just through executive action without Congress. Score some early wins, and then you look at those bigger portions of the federal budget that need to be addressed one by one. So I think that's one way to think about this is, how can the President of the United States, who's been elected with a historic mandate, actually do the thing that the voters have voted for? They haven't voted for incremental change here this time, Maria. We have voted for sweeping change, and the voters actually deserve to get it. And we're focused on how to do that as early and as quickly as possible.
So President-elect Trump just said on that soundbite that you're going to make recommendations. So you're going to make recommendations in terms of where to cut after all that you've just said. Then what?
Look, we're not going to be cutting ribbons. We're going to be cutting costs. And so those recommendations are going to be on a real-time basis. But I do want to take a big step back and understand, for people to understand the scope of this problem. Over $500 trillion that's spent every year right now was not even authorized by Congress in the first place. The Pentagon has just failed its seventh consecutive audit, nearly $1 trillion of budget. They can't even tell you where it goes. So I think part of this is exposing for the public the extent of that rot and waste. But then to take steps first through executive action and then laying the groundwork for broader change through legislation as well to rein in that deficit, to rein in that budget. And more crucially, Maria, I know we're talking about this in terms of efficiency, but there's something deeper going on here. This is about restoring self-governance and accountability in America as well.
All right. Yeah, great conversation with Vivek Ramaswamy, FoxNews.com/video for the full back and forth. If you missed it and want to catch up with it later, Ashley Smith Thomas, she's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes talking about all of President Trump's cabinet nominees and the path in the
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Always great to catch up with Ashley Smith Thomas. She is the founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. So what about President Trump's nominees to serve on his cabinet and other key appointees? How many squishy Republicans are there in the U.S. Senate right now that may potentially decide to team up with Democrats to try to block some of President Trump's nominees, whether it's RFK Jr., Matt Gaetz for Attorney General? Ashley, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of following a lot of this inside baseball back here in Montana because, first let's take a step back, if you don't mind. I think this is our first chance to catch up with you after the big historic elections here in 2024. Montana, we get to say that we did our part electing Senator-elect Tim Sheehy and defeating the entrenched incumbent Liberal Senator John Tester. We haven't seen nor heard squat from John Tester in almost 2 weeks now.
No, absolutely, and I think you all did such a great job there in Montana, and that was a race that all eyes were watching, and now because of you all doing what you can to unseat Tester, it shows, and now we've got the Republicans in the new incoming Congress at 53 in the Senate, Democrats 47, and it was great to see the fact that it was such a trifecta in terms of Republicans securing the House, Senate, and the White House. And I have to say, I was actually blown away with just such a huge blowout victory there on November 5th because I was fully expecting Kamala Harris to not hold back and start legally challenging the Trump campaign. But to see that massive blowout that it was, and not only in terms of the electoral vote, but even the popular vote as well, was just such a resounding relief that week, and I'm excited to see where this is headed and what the American people are going to do moving forward. I think that so many eyes were open and new voters turned out, which is great for the GOP. The question is going to be, is if the GOP can maintain that momentum.
Yeah, great point there. And I think not only was it such a big victory for Donald J. Trump that the Antifa types didn't even pick up their skateboards because they're like, that was a big resounding victory on that front. But then it was also so big that I think even, you know, Bill Maher and others are pointing out how really this was a defeat of the entire DEI woke agenda that really harmed the Democrats across the board, not just the open borders and the economy, but the woke agenda they've been trying to shove down everybody's throats and, you know, forcing men into women's locker rooms and more. That's the question, though, is will the Republicans be able to unite in support of the America First agenda? Now, I feel confident that our Montana senators are going to do are going to be backing Trump. They're working very closely with President Trump already. But there are concerns about some of those squishy Republicans in the Senate, you know, McConnell, Murkowski and some others.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. So we have last week, the Senate had voted to have Senator John Thune of South Dakota as the Senate Majority Leader. He'll be replacing Senator Mitch McConnell in that leadership capacity. And what's interesting is that he's already come out and said that all options are on the table to get President-elect Trump's cabinet picks through the confirmation process. And the thing is that when you look at what is happening, there are four cabinet picks that have senators voicing their criticism, and that is Congressman Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence, Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense, and RFK Jr. as Secretary of HHS. And I'm confident that Senator Thune's going to do his best to try to make sure that these nominations move quickly and swiftly through the Senate confirmation hearing. However, there are six Republicans that are the squish in regards to this. And within this new Senate that's starting January 3rd, 2025, there'll be 53 Republicans, 47 Democrats. It only takes four Republicans to align with the Democrats to block Trump's picks. And it's already reported that the senators who will be the sticklers are Senator Lisa Murkowski, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Mitch McConnell, Senator Tillis, Senator Todd Young of Indiana, and Senator-elect John Curtis of Utah, who will be replacing Mitt Romney. And so already those six are going to be the sticklers. And so it's going to be interesting to see who is going to be able to move forward with the confirmation hearing. And I guess, too, what I'm curious to see as well is that when you look at particularly, let's say, Matt Gaetz, for an example, and these four cabinet picks that some of these Republicans and Democrats think are just questionable. Is Senator Thune going to be able to move forward with that, or is he going to be under pressure by those six Republican senators? So I'm also curious to see how Senator Thune is going to be able to handle the pressure that he's going to be receiving from both sides starting on day one. And so that in itself will be very telling.
Well, that's right. I mean, I've been kind of even pushing back at some of our friends on our side of the aisle in the past week or so, because they're, you know, I feel like the conservatives, some of our friends have more fun fighting each other than they do fighting the other side, and that all that does is cause friction and chaos and division. And then now, I mean, it's like the House Republicans, why they were so hampered the past couple of years, and we don't want to see that same type of ineffectiveness in the Senate in moving forward now, because we need people to unite for the America First agenda to move forward. But the question here is who best and how best do we try to pull the squishy six and keep them in our camp and push them in support of the America First agenda, or go around them, frankly, if that's what it's eventually going to take, whereas I think there's some folks that just want to get everybody fighting each other, and then that's not going to have any good end result either.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that's such a great question. I think what's going to happen is that Senator Thune is going to do his best to really try to make sure that there's unity within the Republican Party there within the Senate. And I think that he's going to try his best to make sure that the confirmation hearings are moving smoothly and quickly. However, I think that, like I mentioned, those four cabinet picks are the ones that are the most questionable. And I think, you know, Senator Thune mentioned in a report that he believes that this is doable, that these cabinet picks are doable, except probably it's going to be Matt Gaetz that's going to be the hardest to pass through the Senate confirmation hearing. I think what's going to end up happening is that's going to be reflecting in the midterms. I'm curious to see how this is going to impact those six senators in 2026, as some are coming up for reelection. For an example, Mitch McConnell, is that going to impact him in the 2026 midterm election? I also think, too, when you look at this whole confirmation process, it's the duty of the Senate to review and investigate the cabinet picks. And there's two things that they're looking for. Is the cabinet pick qualified, and are they fit for this position? What we're seeing right now is a lot of hypocrisy, because when you look at the Biden administration and who they picked to be HHS, Rachel, who is a biological man, to be running HHS, but then questioning RFK, who wants to make America healthy again. I mean, the contradictory that is happening here, it's on full display for the American people to see. So I think that some of these senators are walking a fine line. The question is are they going to really fight Trump and not put America first? Or are they willing to see what challenger is going to rise to the occasion in 2026?
Well, and this goes back to a point I was making, you know, last week as well, which is like, okay, we, in fact, I think it's kind of funny you talk about these six senators. We could say that we're going from the Gang of Eight to the Squishy Six, but no matter who the leader is, whether the leader is John Thune or Rick Scott, or whether it was John Cornyn, or I was kind of hoping Senator Steve Daines from Montana would have been in that slot. No matter who it is, you've got to deal with the Squishy Six. So how do we best effectively deal with the Squishy Six to get the America First agenda forward? That's the question, not just for John Thune. It's the question for all of us as well. Ashley Smith Thomas, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, I mentioned earlier with Evelyn Pyburn, hey, did you watch the Mike Tyson fight? You know that line, age ain't nothing but a number? You could see the age showing even with a beast like Mike Tyson. Some of you, are you feeling your age? Are you feeling your age in your knees, in your hips, in your back? Some of you, maybe it's not even an age thing. You've just got pain in your joints, and you might only be in your 30s. Well, look, here's the deal. You need to know about QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics has hundreds of clinics all across America, but they're now in Montana. And what they specialize in is regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing properties that are already in your body and put them directly into those achy joints. You can give them a call. Find out if this all-natural regenerative medicine is right for you. Call QC Kinetics. The consultation is free. You can use HSA and FSA dollars. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
His code name's Jackal. He's an exceptional assassin.
Streaming now on Peacock.
He will kill again, unless we stop him.
Academy Award winner Eddie Redmayne.
You're paying me to kill him. I am charging you for getting away.
The Jackal's here. Look at the exit.
BAFTA Award winner Lashana Lynch.
I will find him, and I will kill him myself.
I like to win.
So do I.
The Day of the Jackal. Streaming now, only on Peacock.
Fox News commentary.
South Dakota Senator John Thune is our newly selected Senate Majority Leader. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's not the pick many in the mega camp were hoping for, but in a secret ballot vote, the Senate has selected South Dakota Senator John Thune as the new Senate Majority Leader. As a South Dakotan, I humbly beg John Thune not to embarrass my state. Thune has been Mitch McConnell's right-hand man for years, so while it's not ideal, it's not shocking he assumed this position. Senator Thune has been critical of Donald Trump and his mega agenda in the past, and quite publicly. While this concerns me, I am somewhat comforted to hear Thune reassure us mega folk that he will be a good custodian of the Trump agenda. After all, the Trump agenda is a mandate mandate from the American electorate. It's not just a suggestion. In Trump's first term in office, many Republican members of Congress let him and the American voters down by either stonewalling Donald Trump's agenda or making it far more difficult than appropriate. Well, I hope they've learned their lesson. We the people, quite frankly, demand it. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Securing America.
ICE is not wasting any time making a swift move hours after a Donald Trump election victory by asking companies to submit bids for technology and management tools to monitor illegal migrants. These surveillance plans call for the production of ankle monitors, GPS trackers, biometric check-in technology, and human agents to track people awaiting a court hearing or deportation. Although this would be an expansion on the current Alternative to Detention program, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd, says the timing of this call to action was not a coincidence.
Make no mistake, this is simply and only because Donald Trump won the election. Had he have not won the election, they would have never put this out.
The latest data from ICE show that only about 195,000 people are currently under ICE surveillance, with only about 18,000 of them using GPS.
Today at 670-1942, go online at listwithamber.com, listwithamber.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, I had to write down those six names, from the Gang of Eight to the Squishy Six. I like that term, the Squishy Six. I don't know if anybody else has used that term anywhere else yet. I better hit send on this tweet here. That's all right. Somebody else will take it, and then they'll take credit for it. That's all right. Imagine what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit for it. 406-294-0970. Phone lines are open for you. In fact, we've got the phone lines pretty much open for the next 2 hours here on the show. The only thing on our schedule, oh, don't worry, we've got plenty to talk about. Bill Maher talking about how the woke agenda is what crushed the Democrats this election cycle. We'll share some of those highlights and more coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, the 9 o'clock hour. I already got a laundry list of stuff that I'm saving specially for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But the only thing we've got as far as scheduled call-ins, scheduled guests, you name it, James Brown, your newly elected state auditor, great guy. He's got some big plans. He's got some big plans for the state auditor as the commissioner of securities and insurance. So he's going to call in around 9:40 this morning. The rest of the time, the phone lines are open for you. All right. The other thing, since we've been talking a little inside baseball about the United States Senate, you know, from the Gang of Eight to the Squishy Six, Montana's Senator Steve Daines, of course, is the he was the head of the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He did his job. He won back, as Ashley pointed out, not just a 51-seat majority, but a 53-Senate majority. Now, the next chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee is going to be Tim Scott, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. And man, was it incredible getting a chance to see him in Missoula, Montana earlier this year while he was out here backing Tim Sheehy in the Senate race. Tim Scott takes over the NRSC. There was some speculation that he may be hiring a never-Trumple, a Mitch McConnell acolyte, to run the day-to-day operations for the NRSC. He told Trey Gowdy last night, no, that's not true.
Have you even begun making staffing decisions on how to defend the GOP majority? And my sense is you and President Trump are singing out of the same hymnal.
Well, exactly, Trey. I've made no public announcements because I've made no final decisions on the NRSC and the staff. One thing I can tell you is that Steve Daines and the staff at the NRSC did a really good job of not delivering 51 seats, but 53 seats. Number two, I can tell you, we want to hear from each and every person who's there so that we can make good hiring decisions. And number three, I spoke with President Trump and made sure that we were on the same page with the vision we have to make sure that the NRSC is able to produce not 2 years in the majority, but every single year while he's in office. We need 4 years of a Republican majority. That will require us to have a united Republican Party. And so to that end, I am working not only on staffing it, but also creating a succession plan so that when I'm finished at the NRSC, whether it's Jim Banks, Marsha Blackburn, or Pete Ricketts, three vice chair to come, they'll have an opportunity to have their hands in the pie so that we have explosive opportunities to win in places where President Trump was very close, Wisconsin, Michigan. We were as close in New Mexico as we were in Virginia. The map continues to expand because there's a working class coalition that wants to make sure the job is done for them.
All right. That was Senator Tim Scott on with Trey Gowdy last night on Fox News. Lots to talk about coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. The plans for mass deportations. Some of the very same Democrats who wrecked the economy the last 3.5 years are now claiming that if we deport illegal aliens, it'll wreck the economy. No joke. That's what they're actually saying.
In Bozeman. With cloudy conditions today, some snow showers move into the Bozeman area with an inch or two expected. And we'll see rain showers moving into the Billings area. Temperatures will stay steady and falling into the upper 20s in the Bozeman area with highs in the low to mid 40s in Billings. Tonight, rain or snow shower chance early in Billings. Snow showers taper off in Bozeman. Lows in the mid-teens to the mid-20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is huge. Billings, Montana is getting a brand new hockey rink thanks to Montana Coal, thanks to Signal Peak. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.